Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, March 15th. I'm Ray Graff. It can be stressful, overwhelming, trial and error, but most of the time parenting is very rewarding. It's one of life's greatest treasures, but it can also present some challenges. And we have two experts from the New York State Parenting Education Partnership in studio today to help answer your questions about raising kids. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. We talk about parenting coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Being a parent is basically a full-time job that doesn't offer vacations, sick days, or time off. It can be a journey into the unknown. So we have Tim Hathaway and Tamaya, I don't even know how to say your, I got your first name right, but last name.
Memeli.
Tamaya Memeli of the New York State Parenting Education Partnership here to help. Tim is the executive director Prevent Child Abuse New York, which oversees the Parenting Education Partnership. Tim has been a trainer and consultant to early childhood professionals for 25 years. For almost 20 years before that, he worked with Head Start programs in a variety of capacities. Very early in his career, Tim managed and directed early care and learning programs for the YMCA and faith-based communities. Tamaya brings more than 15 years of experience in the not-for-profit and government sectors to her work with Prevent Child Abuse New York. Most recently, she served as the New York State Deputy Director for Council for a Strong America. Tim and Tamaya, welcome to Vox Pop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to have you both here. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And you can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. You gave me a handy one sheet here, 12 alternatives to lashing out at your child. You know, I have a few children myself, and we had something very similar to this in the early days of the first couple of children, right on the fridge.
Yeah.
And the first one is stop in your tracks, step back, sit down. So important. Perspective, so important.
Right, right. Yeah, thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate being here. Absolutely. One of the things that we know about parents is that whenever you take on the job of parenting, you're going to have all kinds of things coming at you. So having a chance to really think about some strategies and about how you're going to deal with and manage that extra stress that's coming at you is really an important kind of thing. And so we really do encourage parents to think about when they get hit in that moment where it seems like everything's coming unglued, and we all have those moments. My wife and I have 4 kids at home. Those are the moments when we really want people to take a minute, take a breath, step back, and really think about, okay, how do I want this to come out? Where am I going with this?
And it's tough in the heat of the moment.
Yes.
To gain that, well, wait.
It is. It is. And I think, you know, if you can take advantage of having the time now when you're not in that moment, not having to be reactive, you know, proactive parenting can be so much more supportive and successful than reactive parenting. And sometimes it's hard to think about taking that breath when you are in the moment. So think about it now when you're not in the moment. You know, that's what we encourage parents to do.
It's not always an easy thing, and I don't believe any parent is truly prepared for what's in store until they actually have a child. So there's a challenge right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think most parents become parents, you know, you find out you're having a baby, and it's excitement, right? You know, and it becomes a lot about the planning and the stuff and the nursery, and it's not so much, the conversations aren't as much about parents getting on the same page regarding discipline and goals for their children. And so taking the time to do that as parents is really important.
So how does the New York State Parenting Education Partnership work, and what is the primary thrust of that partnership?
So the partnership was actually developed by some really dedicated professionals many years ago, and it is convened by the New York State Office of Children and Families, the New York State Office of Mental Health, and the New York State Department of Health, and our office, Prevent Child Abuse New York. The initial idea behind this work was that we really, as a group of professionals and organizations and agencies, wanted to think about what more could be done to attack this issue of child maltreatment, and most importantly, how do we help strengthen parents and the work that parents are doing? Because parenting, as we've said, is a very difficult job, and there are a lot of different resources out there, but how do we make sure that parents are able to connect well with the sort of resources they need? How do we make sure that there are really trained professionals across the state that are doing this work of helping parents and families grow and develop? And so that's really the root of this organization. We engage across a number of different things. We are doing a lot of direct connection and professional development work with people in communities across the state, and offering them a number of different topics that they can be a part of and have a chance to really grow and understand what are the skills that we need in terms of helping parents do their job better, what are the knowledge base that parents need to help them do their job better, and then most importantly sometimes, and we forget about this, I think, how do we help parents connect well into the community? Because one of the things that we know is that when families experience isolation, and isolation comes in a lot of different ways. So we have rural families that are very isolated, sometimes physically, but there's a lot of other ways to think about isolation. So how do we, getting families well connected into a community that provides support and helps that family figure out, where do I go for help when I need help? Who do I call when I'm really stressed out and I need a little bit of extra something? That's one of the keys to really helping parents.
But do parents really reach out and say, gosh, I need help? Or do they say, well, this is what everybody goes through, I'll get through this on my own?
Yeah, I think that's one of the challenges, right? So we oftentimes, especially in our communities, in our society, culture, we think about, I'm going to do this myself and I'll make it through, you know. But one of the things that we know really will make a difference is if parents are able to think about the parenting experience as a really normal experience. Everybody goes through these kinds of stress. Everybody goes through those moments of anger and frustration and what am I going to do about this? That's normal. And so we're not afraid to talk about our morning coffee with somebody because that's normal. That's a normal experience for everybody. We really hope that people will think about the everyday normal stuff that's in parenting, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Think about that as normal, too, and be able to talk with other people about it and express those moments of frustration and those moments of joy.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. We're joined today by Tim Hathaway and Tamaya Memoli.
Very good.
Okay, I got it, of the New York State Parenting Education Partnership. Give us an example of some of the tips of the wisdom that you might try to impart on somebody who says, well, I'm in over my head here.
You know, I think one of the things, one of the primary things is being self-actualized enough to realize that you are in that place of stress, right? And also being comfortable enough to reach out for support. Everybody needs support. There are a million things that I do every single day where I'm supported by somebody, right? Parenting's no different. And so asking for help, right? Asking, recognizing that, you know, looking back when I was a new mom, it took me 6 weeks to figure out how I was going to shower more than twice a week, right?
Yeah, or else you just give up.
Yeah. So recognizing that you need to take that breath and say, wow, you know, I need to reach out to a friend of mine who can come over, provide me with a little respite so I can shower, so I can go to the market, so I can just have 5 minutes where I'm thinking alone with my own thoughts. So I think reaching out for help and support is a big piece.
What if you're a person, maybe you're a single mom, and you don't know too many people, and there's nobody you can really reach out to, then what happens?
So we know that there are all kinds of both formal and informal support systems in all of our communities. Single parents, you brought up a topic that's tough. It's tough to be a single parent. And because your time is maxed out, you've got all sorts of responsibilities, and how do you address all of those things and keep it all in balance? So sometimes you're right, finding a social connection or a social life is really challenging. We really encourage folks to think about the kind of things that they enjoy, the kind of values that they have. So look for parents who are really feeling that sense of, man, I just need to connect a little bit more, to think about, so what are the values I want to pursue? What are the values that I want to impart to my kids, maybe? And then think about where are places in this community maybe that I can build those sort of relationships. So is it a faith-based community? Is it some sort of sports activity? Is it something to do with school activity or volunteering in some way with your child's activity? So you need to go along with your son or daughter anyway, so maybe there's a way to become more involved and meet other people. It is challenging. We know that. We also know that it is possible to find some more formal support systems. By formal, I mean that there are organizations and agencies in every county that provide some help and will help parents connect with other parents in some ways. And there are both peer-to-peer networks, so parents can connect with other parents, but then there are also parenting education kind of programs in communities across the state.
We are joined today by Tim Hathaway and Tamaya Memoli of the New York State Parenting Education Partnership. And we'll take some calls in a minute here. The number is 800-348-2551. You're listening to Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WMZ comes from the 1850 House and Tavern, the1850house.com, 845-658-7800. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. And the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers, nature.org/Adirondacks.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We talk parenting today with Tim Hathaway and Tamaya Memoli of the New York State Parenting Education Partnership. And again, our number is 800-348-2551. What's the number one question that you get, the number one problem you get from a proactive parent who says, hey, I need some help here?
I'll jump in. Tamaya's thinking about that one, and I know she has maybe a different answer than I do, but I will say that most often we're hearing from parents about how do we manage behavior, because regardless of how wonderful and amazing your child is, there are going to be moments when they're challenging you, because that's an important developmental step for kids, right? They've got to stretch their wings. They've got to test some boundaries.
Sure.
And for parents, being able to set clear boundaries with kids is a really important part of your job. You gotta figure out, okay, so what's the line, and how do I enforce it if that line is crossed? And that's a really, really tough thing, because there are lots of different things that go into that decision-making process.
It's
right?
A tough lesson to learn for a parent, and yeah. It's an ongoing process for regardless of how many kids you have.
Right, absolutely. So We really like parents to think about how do I want to approach this before we get to the trouble spots, because that really does help you kind of be ready, again, that proactive parenting stance, where you know when the trouble spots are going to be, right? They're going to be high-stress moments for yourself. So am I late for work? oh my gosh, so that's going to be a moment when it's going to be tough for me to be at my best with my child. Or high stress moments for your child. And so maybe that's the day before a big test, or maybe that's right at bedtime. But thinking those through a little bit and trying to look for, what are the patterns maybe that I see from my child? So we have one of our boys who really, really struggled with bedtime. But we could see that he would start to build half an hour, 45 minutes before bedtime. And so he would start to kind of do certain things. And we could tell if we didn't address those early, then it was going to be a tough night for us and for him. So that idea, again, of really thinking about, where are the stress moments in my time and with my child? How could I plan a little bit better? What's my goal for those times? Do I really want to hear my child better? Do I want to listen better? Do I need to be really firm about a limit that is very important to me because of values that I hold? Or is there something that I just don't quite understand about what's going on here with my kid and why there's so much pressure around this?
I think there's always something that a parent doesn't understand with what goes on with a kid, and I guess it's how you manage it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Tamaya Memeli and Tim Hathaway, and let's go to Judy in Gilderland. Judy.
Hi there.
Hello.
I would like to tell you a story about a little lesson I taught myself, a valuable lesson when my children were little. I had vowed never to strike them because I had a mother who was very into corporal punishment. And so this particular day, we were getting ready to go somewhere, and I have Irish twins. So my eldest was not quite two, and I was very pregnant with number two. And we dressed up. We were all ready to go. And except that Mary, my eldest, ran from me, and she ran through the house, and I lumbered after her and finally caught up with her in one of the bedrooms where there was an area rug. I slipped on the area rug and went very hard to my knees, and I thought, it shocked me. I thought, if I caught that child, I would kill her. And from that day forth, what I learned that was really important to me was that your greatest enemy when you have small children is hurry. Just take your time. You can't hurry them. And so that's all I wanted to tell you, that little story.
Tamaya.
Very true. Speaking as a mother of a five-year-old, There is no such thing as hurrying. Nothing good comes of that. So I couldn't agree more.
Judy, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Although it seems that society getting faster and faster and faster, it really is tough, the more kids you have, to slow the pace down, because things, they move quickly. It's very difficult. Let's go to James in Hudson. James.
Yes, I'm just going to ask, are there some people that should just not have children? I don't hate children. I was a very good babysitter. That was my first job ever. And I don't mind taking care of them, but I can give them back to their parents. But some people just don't want, some people just have children as props because they think that's what they should have.
Wow. That's...
Well, James, I appreciate your self-insight around that, because I think we really hope to encourage folks to be thoughtful. If you haven't heard that theme from us already, let me reinforce it now, that one of the ways that we parent successfully is to be proactive, to be thinking ahead about what are our goals with our child, what are our goals as a parent. And for so many people, they kind of stumble into parenting, right? It's one of those things that kind of happens. And so this idea that people really think a lot and think hard about the parent that they hope to be, that they would like to be, how they would like to engage with kids, whether or not they're even your own kids or not, but how do you hope to engage with children to help that child grow and develop in a meaningful way? That thoughtful approach really pays off, both in terms of your personal well-being and your personal experience with parenting, but also because communities are made up of lots and lots of parents and lots of kids, right? So when we get parenting right, we're much more likely to do well in our broader communities, right?
Can I reply?
Go ahead.
I know I like children. I'm very good with children. I was always one of those people. I could sit down on the floor with them and play their play school tools and play their games.
Yeah.
And I'm still great when the place that I work, children come into the store. I don't mind it, but it's like some people just think that having children is a right, even if they don't know how to raise them.
Okay, well, James, we appreciate that. I think you reiterated that very well. Our guests today, Tim Hathaway and Tamaya Memeli, of the New York State Parenting Education Partnership, and the number to call is 800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Gina wrote us, Gina's mother of four, who writes, when you have one or two, you play man-on-man, and after that, you have to switch to zone defense, and some things
that's
get
great.
Through.
That's great. March Madness is on us.
That's right.
Some wisdom there. This one is from Elizabeth, tips on potty training for a two-and-a-half-year-old. Two questions. Tips on potty training for a two-and-a-half-year-old. Also, tips on moving a child from a crib to a bed. Mm. Have at it, panel.
Well, I'll jump in, and Tim, feel free. I guess, you know, it varies from child to child. For potty training, there are certain things that are kind of prerequisites to potty training, right? But kids need to know when their diapers are wet, right? And need to be able to express some uncomfortableness with that. So that's primary. And then, you know, if that's something that's happening, to get consistent potty training, some folks have a lot of success with, hey, we're on the potty every 20 minutes to 30 minutes just to try. And it's always a fun experience. It's never a stressful experience for the child.
How do you make it fun, though? That's a trick.
How do you make it fun?
Yeah.
I think it's about approach, right? So as a parent, I've found a lot of success trying to make almost anything fun, right?
Yeah.
And because kids will engage in that activity if it's fun for them. So let's go potty, you know, and you go in and you sit in the potty, you can play a game, you sing a song. It's a great opportunity for that parent-child interaction. You keep your child company, you sing a song together, you do some finger play together, and it's fun for the child. You know, my daughter had a favorite magazine that she read every time she went in, and we went in and we pointed out the same animals, and it was just part of her activity that she really enjoyed doing. But that was a magazine that happened during potty time.
There you go.
One of the things that Tamaya said that I would just like to highlight is this idea about readiness, mm-hmm. and knowing your child, being in tune with your child enough to kind of have that sense of, is my child ready? That sensation that Tamaya is talking about where, you know, the child kind of feels that discomfort, and being able as a parent to recognize that is really important. Mm-hmm. That always makes that process much, much better. We know that kids develop at different rates. So not every child's going to be ready to potty train at the same age. You may have one that just makes it easy and quick, and you may have another child that really, really needs to be coached through it.
Right, so. And no amount of stress or forcing the issue a parent can do in any developmental thing is going to make it any better or quicker.
Yeah, it's not going to happen any faster.
Exactly. And what about tips on moving a child from a crib to a bed? We've all been there.
Well,
it's also different for every kid.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
It is very different for every child. And I think, again, it's about gauging that readiness. Mm. You know, if you have a child that is beginning to crawl out of the crib, that child is ready to be out of the crib,
yeah.
right? I mean, it becomes a safety concern.
Yep.
And so that transition does need to happen. How you get the child, I'm assuming that she's wondering about how you get the child to remain in the bed when they're no longer yeah. kind of confined by the crib.
Good luck.
That's a different challenge, right?
Yeah.
So I think, again, it's about developing a routine is really important for kids. It helps children feel safe. They know what to expect next when they're preset for what's coming next. So having a bedtime routine happens every night without fail,
yeah.
I think is really important. Some parents experience a lot of success with bedtime stories.
It works. Yep.
Until the child falls asleep.
Especially a boring story. Works very well.
yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Jim in Albany is on. Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling to ask a question about my wife and I. We have a daughter. She's almost 3 years old. I'm calling to ask about the duration of timeout.
Ah.
Is it something you should set just a 2 to 3 minutes in timeout and then we leave? Or is it something, should we stay in timeout until the matter is resolved or we stop crying or something like that?
Love this question. And first of all, in your experience, do timeouts work?
They do. Yeah,
okay.
I think they do anyway.
All right, what about you, Tim?
Well, I think everybody
I'm sorry.
No, that's great. Thanks, Jim. I think people have different levels of success around timeout. So I know some people feel like it's the bomb and it works all the time, every time. And other people have really struggled because it's a strategy that doesn't always get the result that people are hoping for.
More for the parent than the child, I think.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing for a parent to take some time out for themselves too, take that breath. Around timeout, we really know that maximum a couple of minutes because what we're hoping to do, and again, this may be one of the primary things that a parent wants to do, is think about, so what's my strategy? What do I hope this child is going to gain by a timeout?
Yeah.
Understanding what you need in the situation and maybe what your goal is with the timeout,
yeah.
and is the child going to be able to achieve that? Once you get beyond, again, especially if we're talking about very young children, their ability to really sit for a long period of time, it's just not there. They're not going to be able to. So,
no. So
if they're going to time out a lot, you're kind of in a self-defeating circle there on that
yes.
one. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, our rule of thumb in the household, and again, we played it by ear, a minute for every year of age.
Yep.
And,
okay.
of course, now my son's 14, so 14 yeah. minutes is a pretty long time. You can read a chapter of a book.
Right.
Well, Jim, good luck. These are the interesting years, so I'm sure you'll make it through. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Tamaya Memeli and Tim Hathaway of New York State Parenting Education Partnership. And over to another Jim, Jim in Adams, Mass. Jim, you're on.
Yay, Ray.
How you doing?
Again, and I just read something. I don't know if I got the whole gist of it, but the theory was, this woman was saying, is they don't diaper the child all the time, and then just after feeding them or whenever they feel they're going to anticipate they're going to need to use the toilet and take them there immediately. And then, they are diapered, I imagine, other times after that when you're not right there attending the child closely. Have you ever heard anything about that?
It's a terrifying prospect. It's a very messy prospect.
Yeah, you have to be
on
your
toes.
Yeah, I
guess it might could be. At times an accident or two or whatever.
What do you think? Anybody heard of that one?
I have heard of that approach. And again, there are all kinds of different approaches around that issue in particular. And so, yeah, I think there are some people that have found that as a really successful way. Again, I think you got
to
be willing
to really know your child really well and
exactly.
keep a close eye on them.
Yeah, be in tune, that's for sure. So,
yeah.
Hey, Jim, thanks,
Alrighty.
Buddy. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
The call. So in your line of work, I assume grandparent issues come up as well from time to time.
Absolutely. What we experience is that more and more grandparents are engaged in more and more depth of experience in terms of children's lives.
Good thing or bad thing?
wonderful thing, I think.
I agree.
We need grandparents. And for any of those grandparents out there that are listening, we'd love to hear from you today, too. But the role that you're playing as grandparent is really a pivotal one. And I think that oftentimes we don't give enough credit to grandparents and the work that they do and the contributions that they can make to the lives of children. They oftentimes are really stepping in at those moments to provide that kind of, we talked a little bit about that social support and that extended network of support. Grandparents can do some amazing things by just being available to do that.
Perspective.
Absolutely.
Best
yes.
lesson my mother taught me yeah. when we had our first child. Relax. Will you just relax? And it was great advice. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Things are not always as bad as you think. You know, if the junior skins his knee, you don't have to go to urgent care right away. Relax. Yeah. Let's take a break here and let's relax. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We talked parenting today with Tamaya Memeli, which after the first time, I got her name right. It was amazing. Tim Hathaway is also here from the New York State Parenting Education Partnership. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMT comes from Spate Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls. More than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change. See it whole and move it forward. DLSPECHT.com. Ken Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHicksConstruction.com. The Discovery Center, presenting March programs featuring guided discovery hikes and exploration into the worlds of the fox and hydrology, albanypinebush.org. And the Whistling Kettle of Boston Spa and Troy, seasonal teas for wellness, providing nutcracker, winter spice, butterscotch warming teas, savory and sweet baked goods available, thewhistlingkettle.com.
Vox Pop. What's so funny? It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Tamaya Memeli and Tim Hathaway. You're not relaxed? I said you were being very relaxed, and you started laughing. If you're not relaxed, you're doing a hell of a good job of faking
this
it.
This is wonderful.
Good. I'm glad you're here, and you're both with the New York State Parenting Education Partnership. This one came in via email from Glenn, who writes, "We family bedded for years. I don't remember that she ever had a bad dream." I guess his daughter. "Can you discuss family bedding? Thanks. P.S. Winnie the Pooh rules." And that's from Glenn.
Yes. Total agreement.
Well, I'll jump in on this one. We family bedded as well. Our daughter is internationally adopted, and we felt it was really important for our attachment process as a family. And it was something that... It's one of the greatest joys. My husband and I talk about it all the time. We miss it. It gave us that extra family time where the world wasn't encroaching on us in any way. And it was a wonderful thing.
Peaceful moments.
Absolutely. I think, it doesn't work for all families. It happened to work really well for ours. So.
All right. Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to throw in one of the things that we really want to caution folks about, too, is the issue of really making sure that they create some safety parameters.
Absolutely.
Around that. Because in terms of child fatalities in the state of New York, this issue of sudden infant death, that's a big one. And oftentimes, this factor where there's an adult sleeping with a child, that can factor into
suffocation.
That. Yeah. So we want to be mindful of that too. As Tamaya said, our family bedded too. So I think that's a really common experience for a lot of families. If you're doing that, then just be mindful of that. Be thoughtful about that and really make sure that those clear parameters are set in terms of how we do
safe
that.
Sleep.
Safe yeah. sleep, yep.
I think it's, at least from my standpoint, it was very hard not to think about that all the time when one of our little ones jumped in with us. And gosh, I mean, nothing bad ever happened, but I think I was so paranoid about it the whole time that, we were all, even while asleep, you're on guard. Let's go to Loretta in Glenmont. Loretta.
Hello. I'm talking about teenage years. When my daughter was a teenager and starting to go out with friends and wanting to go someplace in a car or something, and I was uncomfortable about the situation or the people she was going with, sometimes she would say to me, "You don't trust me." And I would respond, "No. It's because I'm not ready to let you go. If something happened, I would feel terrible." And she seemed to accept that. That put the onus on me, not on her. And interesting enough, when she got older, she said to me, "You were very lenient with me." And all I could remember was all the times I said no.
Yeah. Well, parenting teenagers is a challenge, and we've gone through that a couple of times, and we have a 15-year-old right now. It's always a challenge. A couple of thoughts that tie into what you're talking about is respect brings respect. So being able to build the sort of relationship, and so we, that's kind of common sense. When that baby's first born, we always think of, oh, we got to connect, and, that's really easy to do. But sometimes when we get to those teenage years, it feels like that connection starts to loosen up, and it does, right? That's part of the whole thing is developmentally.
It has to.
It's got to. So that's a healthy thing. But sometimes through that loosening process in terms of that bonding, sometimes it feels like some of that mutual respect starts to slip away. And so really focusing with teens on this issue of building respect, and connecting in ways that strengthen the relationship. I think a lot of times we are faced with this young person who all of a sudden is taken on a whole new set of interests or is going some directions, and we're trying to sort that out. And we're trying to set boundaries sometimes too. But being able to really find ways to intentionally strengthen the relationship and intentionally connect beyond just the day-to-day, we got to get you to school, we got to get you to activities, we got to get you to bed on time, we got to make sure you did your homework. But find other ways to really build and strengthen those connections, and then setting clear expectations. And sounds like you've done some of that.
It is difficult, I think, to know how much rope to give your growing child, especially now. And I find some of the technology terrifying with all the internet, all the social media, all the stories, thankfully, I've not seen firsthand, of bullying and cyberbullying. It's mind-boggling how you give your child enough rope to be free and yet make sure your child is all right.
Absolutely. I think but that's an ongoing challenge of parenting, right?
Yeah.
That starts early. And I think one of the things that's so critical is building a strong foundation for your kids at an early age so that they have that foundation upon which to draw when they are faced with those tough situations later on when they're teens.
We're joined today by Tamaya Memoli and Tim Hathaway of the New York State Parenting Education Partnership. Our number is 800-348-2551. Over to Emily in Rhinebeck. Emily, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I would just had a couple comments, I think, as a corollary to what y'all were just saying. There's a parenting kind of technique that I was turned on to when I had my daughter, and now, use it with my son as well. It's conscious discipline, and it kind of focuses on making those times to connect with your child, taking that 10 minutes, when you have the perfect storm of getting out of the house and, just kind of focusing on them. And it's really helped a lot with kind of stopping the power struggles that I think a lot of those situations devolve into, and also focusing on yourself, what's wrong with me in this situation that I'm, you know, unable to deal with my child because my three-year-old doesn't know what they're doing. Like, they're just reacting to mom being crazy or whatever at that point in time. So I just wanted to share that that kind of system called conscious discipline had really, really helped me with those situations. And I had also wanted to share for the listeners who are in the Hudson Valley area, the Poughkeepsie, Rhinebeck, Beacon region, there's a local baby boutique that has been a huge help in terms of finding friends, finding other mothers, finding other parents who are going, you know, through the same struggles and building that community when you don't automatically have it. I'm from Florida originally, so I didn't have it moving to this area. And it's the Waddle and Swaddle boutiques, and they've just been so important. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there for anybody who's, you know, a mother or father looking to connect in this area.
Tim, you want to respond?
Yeah, bravo, Emily. I am very familiar with the conscious discipline program that you're talking about, and that's a great, great approach. And we've used that, and I've used that through a number of different settings in early childhood settings with young children and children as they're growing too. So that's a great, great thing that you've kind of tapped in there. I would certainly encourage people to check that out. And there are a number of other strategies as well. So to be able to find something like that, it's a great support where you're looking at kind of an approach. You have to remember, you don't have to follow exactly everything that maybe that approach. You got to use your head too a little bit and think through some of those things. But finding an approach to parenting like that, or approach to behavior management, and then using that as a way to build your skills, right? Because parenting is just a big set of skills, right, that we continually have to grow and sharpen. So being able to kind of think about and look for what are the places where I need to kind of build my parenting skills? What do I feel like I need some work on? And then finding those resources is great. So,
Emily, thank you very much for the call. We've talked earlier about grandparenting, and I got thinking about the so-called old days and how you simplify things that happened in the old days. And all of the research that you talk about today, everyone's got an idea of how to parent, and everyone's got a philosophy and a theory. Is parenting now, the state of the art, better than it was 100 years ago?
I'm going to jump into that one. Tamaya's got an answer too, I know. But so I would say that it is, because we understand child development much better than we did back in the day. So one of the things that's really happened for us over the last, you know, probably 20 years is that what we now understand about how children develop physically and emotionally is so much better than really what we understood 150 years ago. So we really have grown. Now, for parents to capitalize on that knowledge about child development, they've got to do some research. They've got to talk to other parents. They've got to look into, you know, what should I build my skills on? What should I build my knowledge on? But I think that that's a place that things have gotten definitively better for us.
Yeah, and I would add, I completely agree with Tim, and I think, you know, particularly around brain science and how a child's brain develops and what things are so critical in the first 1,000 days for a child. We've learned so much about
physically,
that.
Physically, you mean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what are things, you know, for example, learning, what we found out is that parent-child interaction, that verbal back and forth, the singing to your child as you're changing a diaper, and the baby talk back and forth, that just makes the synapses, I mean, things are just exploding,
yeah,
in a child's brain. And that really strengthens verbal skills later on. It's early literacy. It's all that really great stuff that we want for our kids. And that all happens really early on. And we didn't know that 100 years ago.
But mothers sang to their children, presumably for hundreds of years, while they were changing them. Have we seen evidence that it works? Are kids better now in the last 20 years? Is this generation smarter, more precocious, more balanced?
Boy, that's a tricky question.
You can't answer that question, can you?
I don't think I can, no.
All right, so we'll just take it a given that it works, all right? Let's go back to the phones. Cheryl in Athol, Mass. Cheryl, you're on.
Oh, hello. Hello, folks.
Hello.
I was calling initially and having listened to your show as it's continued, but initially I was calling to applaud the caller by the name of James. He is about 3 or 4 callers ago who said, not everyone does have children. I appreciate that there are people that understand that and can play a supportive role, because these people, they are supporting the It Takes a Village, and it really does, and especially in this complex world, and I applaud that very much so. So many children are in need of enrichment and of guidance, skills, so many things that the village and the community can offer, but of course that contingent on a good relationship and a trusted environment.
Oh, yeah.
You've mentioned grandparents since then.
Yes.
This is a very complex world, and in light of what you were just discussing, is it better or is it worse? I think we've conceptualized more. We've laid more terms to it. We do understand development, and so we have a lot more to go on. I personally think that everyone anticipating parenthood should take these courses and get as much understanding of the development stages as they should.
Okay.
I am a grandparent. And due to various family circumstances, I am a nuclear role grandparent, having been the nuclear maternal role in the home.
Okay.
It's not always the mother father, what we consider the standard roles in this day and age, but it is so important to enrich these children, and especially during their development years.
Okay. Well, Cheryl, that's a great point. Tim, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, a lot there, Cheryl. Thank you very much for that. And I'll pick on your comments about a grandparent. Again, bravo for you, because what you're talking about, kind of stepping in and having a much more, as you put it, a nuclear role in that family structure with your grandchild, really is important. And we are seeing more of that. That's something that's always happened, but we are seeing it certainly in this day and age. So, challenging spot to be. I think it's something that we again hear a lot of grandparents talking about, both the joy and the struggle of being in just the role that you're in. So bravo for you.
Thanks a lot for that, Cheryl. Roberta in Wallkill. Roberta, you're on.
Hi. I called in because my husband and I, we have one son who's almost 2 years old, and we're trying to decide if we want to have a second child. So my question just, are there common problems that only children face at different times in their lives, and how as parents can we support them?
Wow.
Maybe even proactively help them face those challenges.
Well, that's going to be... Let's see which one of our panelists wants to answer that question. It's probably the last one we'll have today, so go ahead. That's a tough one.
That is. I don't think that there's just a very neat answer to that,
no.
Right? So, you know, I'm the mother of an only child, but I am... You know, I have siblings. I grew up with siblings. So I think that there are challenges to both worlds. I think that there are advantages to both worlds. And I think as long as, you know, something that we've talked a lot about is being proactive in your planning and in your thought process and in your approach. So I think, you know, no matter what kind of family you have, how many children you have, I would say that, you know, being as thoughtful in your approach is the best thing you can do.
What a great job you did answering that question. You know what? I tell you, you came on the show, you didn't know what to expect, and then you get every kind of question under the sun. So if a parent has a question, and especially a first-time parent who has no idea, how do they get advice, and presumably it would be anonymous advice?
We actually, at Prevent Child Abuse New York, we have a toll-free parent helpline that anyone across the state can call. It is 1-800-CHILDREN, and it is staffed 7 days a week from 9 to 9. And so you actually have a live person that you can have a conversation with.
You need to talk. Sometimes you need not a voicemail. You need to talk to somebody. And so this is 24/7, or is it just
9 to 9?
Yep. And that's 1-800-CHILDREN. Well, Tamaya Memeli and Tim Hathaway, the hour is over. You both did very well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks
very
for
much.
Having us.
And once again, that number is 1-800-CHILDREN, and we appreciate you two for being on the program. Support comes from Colby Attorney Service, document filing, document and information retrieval, and other services, including legal publishing and corporate record searches, ColbyService.com. Jane Iredale, a mineral makeup company specializing in makeup that is good for the skin. Jane Iredale retail shop at Louisa Ellis Boutique, Great Barrington, JaneIredale.com. And Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. Thanks again to Tim at Tamaya for being with us today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to you for calling and for listening. And your phones were answered today by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Despite the piles of snow tomorrow, good heavens, it's the gardening show. Right now, though, stand by for news.